And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, have you ever noticed that there are times in the Christian journey when things seem utterly ridiculous? Then out of nowhere, miracles occur in mere moments or minutes. Everything changes in the blink of an eye. It could seem and feel and look like the most challenging circumstances ever. But then there's a breakthrough, as if heaven had descended to earth and rearranged the order of life. Next, instead of challenging God and trying to figure out how and when he does things, since his methods and timings are beyond us, it can be sufficient in our faith of journey to understand why he does things as opposed to how he does things. So we might not get to know the how or the when, but he absolutely makes clear what the why is all about. And finally, there's not a single event that has occurred to us that is outside of God's knowledge. There's nothing that's ever taken place that's outside of God's purpose. There's nothing that's ever happened that's outside of God's plan. It is stated in Ephesians 1:11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now that should be reassuring.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk is what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey. So much more. Now remember, it's not professional radio. We've proved that 15 times already today. It's just radio. But we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, whoa, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob. All right, we've covered this one before, but I wanted to do a do-over. So that's how bad I'm getting. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like eating your favorite kind of cake.
Aww. That's a good one.
That's a good one, right? Okay, but now you're on the spot, so you don't have to give me the only one. You give me one or two, maybe three, but give me an idea. What kind of cakes? Now, we're not talking brownies or donuts. We're talking about cakes. Mm-hmm. What kind of cakes do you like?
I like confetti cake. I like lemon cake. Chocolate cake. Honestly, there's multiple.
Okay.
That I enjoy.
All right, I'm gonna give you a list, but you'll be surprised at my list. Okay.
Okay.
I like carrot cake.
Okay.
I like German chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
And I like ice cream cake. The cake that has ice cream with it and the cake in it and the same thing. You know, like the Baskin Robbins-y.
I like two of those, so I'm not a big carrot cake guy, but I do like
I don't know what it is about carrot. Most people don't like it. I like it. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I can't figure it out. Although I do eat a lot of carrots, so could be.
See, I don't like, I'm not really a big fan of carrots in general, so that makes sense.
No,
not liking carrot cake either.
I eat carrots, and I don't eat them necessarily for the taste. I eat them because I know it's not going to help my eyes. No, wait, that's wrong. Was it the other way around?
Right.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. All right, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got a prayer request, and you want to bring that. We pray for people. Why? Because it's helpful, and people are blessed by it. The Lord is honored by it, and people get answers to prayers. You know, see is that as we get into the teaching. We also do, you know, praise reports, things that are going on in your life. You just want to share it. It's like, this has been happening. This is really cool. You know, it's easy for us to get focused on what's not going great, but it's the wrong spirit to have. We need to have more of an attitude of appreciating what is going right as opposed to complaining about what isn't going right. That would be a big difference between, you know, being thankful or complaining. Yeah, you don't want me to teach on that. That never goes well for anybody who hears it, including myself. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is it can be prayer request, a praise report. We're going to do history. We're going to do some jokes, I hope. And we're also going to do Bible trivia because we love Bible trivia. It keeps the Bible at the forefront of our thoughts. So let's go with Bible trivia right now. According to the book of Revelation. So you already know where this reference is coming from, right? According to the book of Revelation, specifically Revelation 7:1, how many corners does the earth have? Does it have 3 corners, 4 corners, or 5 corners? This is, of course, illustrative that Revelation is often understood as a symbolic book, since the world is not a square. Anyway, according to the book of Revelation, how many corners, by the way, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 32, 1,500 years earlier, God said he sits over the circle of the earth. Anyway, according to the book of Revelation, how many corners does the earth have? 3, 4, or 5 corners? Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 is your place you want to respond to. If you know, you can reach out and call us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. In the meantime, we will do our DNA. Yay! D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Here's a real simple question for you. Ready? I'll just give you a real simple question. Do you find that things happen every day?
Yes.
Is that just like, okay, yes, things happen every day. Okay. Then therefore, in conclusion, maybe spending time with God every day is helpful. Is that right? Come on. That's just like, that is just common. Right? Common sense?
Makes sense to me.
All right. Makes sense. See? We're not making cash. We're making sense. Here we go. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, ever, ever, ever. And they will try. And the politicians will try. And the people who are sports figures, who are atheists, will try. And they're only atheists so they can support their ridiculous, sinful lifestyle. They will try to shame, to shame, to shame. And your answer is nope. Here's the solution to never being shamed about the word of Jesus Christ. Don't receive it. There you go. That's how you do that. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, because that is a reflection of Jesus. Now, to serve does not mean to approve of other people's sins, whether you're a Super Bowl commercial or not. What it means is that you serve, you are ready, you are prepared for the Lord to use you to speak his truth. For some people, when you speak that truth, it's life. For other people, it's death. That's not your call. It's your job to obey. Sometimes the Lord will use you just to pray for somebody, to smile for somebody, to text somebody, to encourage somebody, to think about somebody, petition on their behalf. Maybe the Lord has something in you that he wants you to use faith for. He wants you to operate in more love. Maybe he wants you to functioning more in the fruitfulness of the Spirit. You know, the Lord in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Maybe that's what the Lord, don't know. You just gotta be ready. You're never not ready. That's the key. Okay? All right? That's our D DNA. Back to our trivia question before we get into this teaching, and this is going to be some fun teaching today. According to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, in fact, how many corners does the earth have? Is it 3, 4, or 5? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Later in the show, we're going to be praying for those who are going through some discouragement. We'll pray for that. Not quite yet, but soon enough. In the meantime, let's just get to the specifics of the Word of God, which is the best of the best of the best of the best. Ready? All right. This is Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 through 20. When Joseph's brothers, you know what? I don't know if I want to start there. Do I want to start? Yeah, I'll start there. Okay. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father has left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers, their sins, their wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of your servants, of the God of your father." And when their message came to Joseph, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So in Joseph's situation, the brothers, after their dad dies, after Jacob is gone, they're like, uh-oh, this could be trouble, because now our brother, he can pay us back. He doesn't have to answer to dad. This is a problem. We don't know if the father wrote this. He probably did not. In fact, the way that they present it in Scripture somewhat indicates that he didn't write it, and they're just trying to cover themselves. That's right. People have been doing that one for a long time. But what, look at Joseph's response. And what's amazing is that this guy, who his feet were in chains when he was in jail, he's in this, he's in a prison like of his brother's making when they threw him in the pit. It's like, it's just a horrible things that have happened to him. And look at what he says. He says to them, the ones that have done the wrong, which is amazing because he's the one that's in the right, "Don't be afraid." So that's number one. And everybody should hear my voice. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know if they involve you directly, your health, your finances, your existence, your relationships. I don't know. Here's what I know for sure. Every time the Lord makes some kind of appearance, one of the first things he says, one of the first things Jesus said after the resurrection, one of the first things Jesus said in the middle of the storm is, "Don't be afraid." Have you ever wondered why "don't be afraid" has always been so important? And no, there was not 365 fear nots. There's 155. That's not the point. The point is this. Don't be afraid, because fear diminishes faith and brings a person operating in a completely different mindset and heart. And if you do that, you can't trust God. And if you can't trust God and have faith in God, you're not going to please God. And so the first thing you hear from Jesus, the first thing you hear from the angels, the first thing you hear from in Joseph in this situation and in a multitude of other scenarios is, "Don't be afraid." Too many of us are buying into that we should be afraid, in the sense that we tremble and shake and we're anticipating darkness and doom. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Do not be afraid. So whatever your circumstance is, whoever it's with, whether it's for you or somebody close to you or connected to you, your children, your parents, your siblings, somebody who's a friend, that part's not relevant. What is relevant is that command to not be afraid is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. And in this case, it is again the same. Don't be afraid. Again, you mean I can choose not to be afraid? Yes, you can. Through the Lord, you can choose not to be afraid. Just think of that. That's just so powerful, right? All right. According to the book of Revelation, how many corners does the earth have? Is it 3, 4, or 5? And the answer is 4. And that's where the expression the four corners of the earth comes from. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Thank you very much. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations. And is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Oh, no, it's not on his tail. It's on his face. I've ruined it. Oh, no. Well, that's okay, though. Somebody else will come along and get it right.
Thanks for coming to my birthday party, Stewie.
Oh, I wouldn't have missed it for anything. I've never been to a party before.
Want to watch me blow out the candles?
I would love to see that. And gosh, Bobby, I'd love to play with some of your birthday toys, but only after you've played with them and only if you say it's okay.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. What was the name of the island that the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation on? Was it Maltus, Crete, or Patmos? Al's first answer, Gilligan's. Gilligan's. Nothing. You got nothing there. What was the name of the island that the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation on? Is it Maltus, Crete, or Patmos? Your answer is Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. That's the place to locate it. If you think you know the answer, 972 972- 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Al wants all of us to know that not only was it Gilligan's Island, but they got there by the love boat.
Okay.
Dude's on a roll. He's on a roll today. All right, somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm just being honest, brother. Just trying to get through today so that my wife can get through today so that we can be done with all of this ridiculous hours for Valentine's Day for flower managers. That's all I'm going to say. Just like survive. So you know how we talk about so you can survive, live, and prevail? This is survive. Just take
it. I see.
All right, let me set it up for you. You can knock it out. Here we go. What was the name of the island that the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation on? Was it Maltus, Crete, or Patmos?
Patmos.
That is correct, Amundo, sir. You are right. That is 100% correct. And what's funny is now Crete, that's an island. Maltus, that was an island. But I'm just saying it's just like, yeah, that's Patmos. So that's the first John, or Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. He's on the island of Patmos in the Lord's Day, which is a debate for some people, although I'm not sure why. Let me pray over you, but I also want to pray for, so people have been reaching out to me and having a little bit of discouragement. And so I'm going to pray for your health and against discouragement kind of at the same time. And it might apply for you as well. I mean, I don't know, but let's just pray for it. And I don't want you to ever quit being persistent. You got to promise me that, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. I thank you for my brother Gary. I ask you to bless him. Lord, he needs help. He needs a little bit of financial help. He's asking you for that. But we come to you and petition you for his physical healing. He needs a touch from the Holy Spirit, and we'll keep praying. And you know we're going to keep praying. You already know. We're going to keep praying for him. We're going to be persistent. I mean, I'm just amazed because he's like I would be in this. It's just like, nope, going to keep praying. And we're going to keep asking you and opening that door and asking you to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move in his physical body that he might find healing from you. And Lord, I don't want him or anybody else that's listening to us fall into any kind of discouragement. It's when we lose a little bit of courage, Lord. It's not the complete loss, but it's a drain. And for those that are feeling discouraged, we ask you to lift them up, put a new step in their lives, put a stronger hope, a stronger light of hope in their lives, that they would not be discouraged. So I pray for my brother. I pray for his health, his finances, and his spirit and his attitude, and for the other people who are listening and need it, that they would be encouraged and not discouraged. That's what we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I've been praying for all of you, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. We love you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, let's get back to the text of Rooney. You have to love this, and I could probably spend the entire show just in this one text. I have 15 other pages, but I'm not going to use them. I want to go back to verse 19. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid." I already kind of spent a little time talking about that. Then he says this, "Am I in the place of God?" Now, that statement right there, it's an interesting statement because there are times when we are in a situation and we act like we're in the place of God because we're trying to control it. You see what I'm saying? And that's a definitive problem. You can't do that. You can't say, "Here it is, Lord, I'm going to bring it before you, but then I'm going to make sure I do everything that's doable, and then when I've given up and can't do anything else, then I'll revert back to prayer." That is not doing it right. If you're going to do the best you can, pray that it's blessed, and let Jesus take care of the rest, that's fine. But you can't try and control it and then go as your last resort, "I'm going to pray." It's like, that's like, you're my last, you know, ace up my sleeve. Lord, you have to help. It's like, no. But what he says next is fascinating beyond anything. It's, he says this, "You intended to harm me And I will be honest, I think people should be aware of this. People do things in life with the intent of hurting other people. I don't know if you know that or not. If you're past 12 years old, you probably know it, that people do things to create problems and pain. And what Joseph does, he doesn't say you guys didn't try and do it. He doesn't say, oh, it's like nothing. He said, no, you tried to harm me. You tried to hurt me. And people do that. And is every one of those people non-Christian? No, it happens all the time in multiple places. It takes place a great deal. It's not a person doesn't believe in Jesus, but they, you know, sometimes their flesh gets the best of them, their anger, their stupidity gets the best of them, and they do things. Sometimes it is because they're against Christ. Sometimes it's a multitude of reasons. It could be whatever it is. Their intent, though, is to create harm and to create problems. It's the response that Joseph gives that we focus on. They're intending to harm me. And in our circumstances, this is intended to harm me. Or this circumstance financially, this is intended to harm me. The next word, though, changes everything. But. I love but. If you look the word but up in the older Heritage American Dictionary, it says, on the other hand. It's just so great. So when somebody says to you, but, just put in your brain, on the other hand, and that'll just always help you understand what's going on. Here's what Joseph says. He says, look, you were trying to hurt me. On the other hand, God intended it for good. So while somebody else is being allowed to try to do something to create problems, God is using it for greater purposes. And what we fail to see is that we kind of focus on the person trying to harm us and what's wrong with them, or they used to be good or now they're not, or they were never good, or whatever it is that you want to come up with. That part doesn't matter. What matters is we're focusing on the person and their intent and harm. We're not focusing on the fact that God is the one who's using this to accomplish something else. Because God has a purpose. God has a plan. And he's not going to subject his purpose and plan to how that person feels or how you feel or how anybody feels, because it's not what it's subjected to. What it's yielded to is God has a plan. And you and I can either choose to be afraid or not be afraid, to try and control it or not try and control it, to look at the person or the entities or whatever it is that's trying to harm us and focus on the harm part, or get a grip and understand that God is intending it for good, to accomplish what is being done. God has something else in mind, right? You don't want me to go back up to Job. We spent a year and a half teaching the book. It's pretty hard to ignore. Job thought one thing was going on, another thing was going on. He was completely wrong. He was probably 1,000 times more righteous than you and I, just being honest. But he was completely wrong, focusing totally on the wrong thing. And then what did he do? What was his sin? Justified himself. I shouldn't be getting this harm. Instead of justifying God. Oh, wait, there's a plan here beyond my eyes. You see that? You know what that takes to see that? Faith. You know what it takes to please God? Faith. Those are very powerful principles. See that? Wow. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form, and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I should note on that, Phil, it is no longer as low as the press can go. They've now gone much lower. Never forget this, right? MEDIA stands for Making Everyone Dumber in America. That's what it stands for. I haven't done that for a while. I just love that line. Yes, I did actually. Yeah, no, I really came up with that. Seriously, I did.
You came up with that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was about 9 years ago. I also did these other ones. CNN stands for Christians Not Necessary. I mean, just go to NBC, No Bible Christians. ABC, Anything But Christians. don't even get me started, okay? Okay. Trivia, that's right. I do some of that stuff. Less politics now because I don't care. That's right. Let me do this. Before we do the trivia question, Jeanette, so somebody who answers our trivia questions on a regular basis, she has a praise report, and I'm going to read it for her. She put it in the form. So you can put a praise report in the form on the website, which we're going to send you to in a minute. And you can put it could be a prayer request, it could be a praise report. She has a praise report. So, Jeanette, thank you for doing that. She wrote, since developing a habit of reading scriptures before I go to sleep, I slept solidly last night for the first time in years. How cool is that she's developed a habit of reading scriptures, and so she's reading the scriptures, she's going to bed, and now that she's reading scriptures at night and getting it kind of the better things in her mind, she's sleeping more soundly. How cool is that? That's just awesome, right? Great testimony. Thank you for sharing that, Jeanette. We appreciate that. All right, here's your trivia question. By the way, tough one. What do we say about our fourth out of five questions? We do five questions basically almost every show. So let's see, that's five a show, 1,200 and plus shows. So what is that, 5,000, 6,000? we did a lot of trivia questions, I think, come to think of it. So, wow, I think I've done.
Yeah, that sounds right, 6,000.
Yeah, I've done probably 15,000 since I've done radio. That's a lot. All right, here we go. This is a tougher one. In the city of Lystra, most people are going, I have no idea where this is going, so here's the reference. what were the names of gods given to Paul and Barnabas? So they were at a place, and then the people gave them the names of these gods. Was it Pluto and Mars, Venus and Zeus, or Zeus and Hermes? Hermes. Zeus and Hermes, Venus and Zeus, Pluto and Mars. Okay, it is with an M, but you know, sometimes I mispronounce it. Your reference is Acts 14:12. Acts 14:12. For those who are like going, it's okay. You can look it up. There's nothing bad about looking it up. That's a good thing. It'll stay forever in your mind. You'll never, ever, ever forget it. Straightforward question. In the city of Lystra, what were the names of gods given to Paul and Barnabas? Pluto and Mars, Venus and Zeus, Zeus and Hermes. That's the question. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website. And just lots of cool stuff. Perfect example on the website is you can put in a praise report. We'll read it for you. You can have a prayer request. We'll read it for you. There's that kind of stuff on there. There's a lot of stuff on there. There's a sermon that I preached in August. Was it July? I think it was July. So it's in the last year. There's old sermons from 30 years ago and from 3 years ago. There's video. There's audio. There's different stuff all over the place. And there's a place to give. And we want you to consider that seriously. Because we need the help. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So consider it. Check it out, please. Check it out on the website. HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
All right, shout out to Veronica, who yesterday said to me, there is a basement in the Alamo. It was a joke, you know. She's just making reference to the movie. Okay, trivia question, and then we'll do history. You have to do history, and I'll tell you why, because it's important. In the city of Lystra, what were the names of gods given to Paul and Barnabas? Was it Pluto and Mars, Venus and Zeus, or Zeus and Hermes? Acts chapter 14, verse 12. If you think you know, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Let's do history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, so as most people know, today is Valentine's Day. Here's a Valentine's Day fact. 75% of chocolate purchases are made by women all year long during the days and minutes before Valentine's. 75% of all chocolate purchases made by men are right up at Valentine's. So in other words, a woman, 75% all the way through, a man within days and weeks of Valentine's, 75% of their male purchases for chocolate. That's just like, yikes. Over $1 billion of chocolate is purchased on Valentine's Day.
Wow. That's like, something.
It's just like, really? It's like, really? That's pretty funny. It's also, by the way, a National Cream-Filled Chocolates Day, so which goes with that. It is also Ferris Wheel Day. So if you like Ferris wheels or not, that's kind of interesting there. Let's see. 1876, Alexander Graham Bell invents the telephone. 1876, and the next day, the first busy line is heard. Okay.
That's a good one.
Thank you. That's funny. 1849, the oldest photograph of a United States president is taken in the White House. James K. Polk had his photograph taken in 1849 on February 14th. Wow. And then in the year 2000, the first spacecraft orbits an asteroid. Orbits an asteroid. That was kind of different altogether. Okay, that's the history. Thank you very much. Back to the trivia question, then back into their teaching. What were the names of the gods given to Paul and Barnabas? Was it Pluto and Mars, Venus and Zeus, Zeus and Hermes? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So let's go back to this. I love this teaching, by the way. It encourages me. I don't know if it's encouraging you guys, but it encourages me, and that's important too. What's the deal? What's going on? What is it that Joseph is operating in that he's being able to say, hey, this whole thing right here, this whole thing that's going on right here, you intended it one way, but God intended it another, and that's the route we're going. And we're going to look at it that way and not the other way. We're not going to look at it through fear. We're not going to look at it like I'm going to control because I'm in the place of God. We're not going to look at it like focusing on the people that are trying to do us harm. We're going to focus on that God is doing something for good. So what's the deal? Isaiah 54, 16 and 17. What? Certainly you were going to go to Romans 8, 28. Isaiah 54, 16 and 17. See? It is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. Verse 17, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. God is in charge of every weapon. Just stop. God is in charge of every weapon. It doesn't matter whether the weapon is from a blacksmith or if it's a blacksmith with words. God is still in charge of every weapon used against us. And he says, you either believe him or you don't. Hey, it's not going to prevail against you. He doesn't say it's not going to hit you. It doesn't say it's not going to wound you. After all, Joseph was in jail. He was in the pit. But it did not prevail against him. Your situation, your circumstance, your thing that you're dealing with, I empathize with you and sympathize, both. I feel sorry for you, and I recognize it, having gone through it 100 times myself. Here's the bottom line to that process. While that is all good and plenty, just like the candy, the bottom line to this is that nothing is going to happen to you through your circumstance that God will ignore you in. You will not be prevailed upon. You will still forge forward and conquer, or God is a liar. Pick. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. You guys know these passages. Or how about Nehemiah 13, 1 and 2? On that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people. And there was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly because they met the Israelites with, they didn't meet the Israelites with food and water, but hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. However, God turned the curse into a blessing. Every weapon is in the submission to God, period. And God takes curses and makes them blessings. And he takes intent against you and makes it good for you. How? Because he's in charge of every weapon. Whoa. He's in charge of every weapon. Every weapon. That is who you serve. See that? Like, ooh, I like that. Isaiah 54:17. I like that. That's what's going on. And what happens? God takes the curses and turns them into blessings. How's he do it? I have no idea. I know why he does it. We'll get to that in a minute. But I have no idea how he does it. I just know he does it. That's all I care about. In the city of Lystra, what were the names of the gods given to Paul and Barnabas? Was it Pluto and Mars, Venus and Zeus, or Zeus and Hermes? The answer is Zeus and Hermes. That is the answer. Acts chapter 14, verse 12. We'll take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Verse 40, meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the city of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every city along the way until he came to Caesarea. He was in Caesarea, by the way, for 20 years, which explains why he had the daughters. But here's what I want you to catch. While he was en route, he landed in the Azotus. However he got from point A to point B is amazing. We don't even know. But what he did was he preached the gospel in every city along the way until he came to his destination. And if you cannot recognize, that is a testimony from God saying you take the gospel wherever you go until you reach your destination, which is either you being called up to the Lord personally, corporately, or however it's going to take place. Every place we go, everywhere we are, we take the gospel. That does not mean you grab a microphone. It does not mean you grab some kind of bullhorn and scream at people with the gospel. You just make sure that you are sensitive. That's the very DNA we talk about all the time. You're sensitive to the Lord. You're taking the gospel with you wherever you go. You're recognizing that wherever you go, you might have a one-time encounter with somebody, and they might make a decision for Jesus just based on that encounter. Noelle and I had that exact thing happen on our way from San Diego to Rockwell, to Fate. And we met somebody from a hotel that we were at and talked to them one time and prayed with her. And she became a Christian. And we never saw her again. It's not our call. It's up to the Lord. Just be available. You don't have to be, that's the word I'm looking for. You don't have to be Billy Graham. Like I said, Billy Graham wasn't Billy Graham. In other words, just be yourself. Be available. You never know what the Lord will do and how he'll use that. Okay? That's what's so cool about this text. Now, we finished up to chapter 8. Now, Acts chapter 9, we're going into Saul. And that is some serious stuff. Here's the trivia question. What was the affliction of the woman who was touched? Who touched the hem of Jesus' robe, and she had an issue with bleeding, an issue of blood, for quite some time, as we know, 12 years. The issue of blood, that is what she sought the Lord for, and she touched him, and then Jesus healed her physically, socially, psychologically, and emotionally all together at one time. Isn't that cool? Jesus is cool. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where these shows are going faster and faster and faster. I just don't get it, man. Is it me? I mean, just like zoop, zoop.
No, they zoop. Fly by.
They are flying by. Here's your question. Who asked to sit on the right and left hand of Jesus in his glory? Was it Peter and Thomas, Philip and Andrew, or James and John? Who asked to sit on the right and left of Jesus in his glory? Was it Peter and Thomas, Philip and Andrew, James and John? Your specific reference, Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 37. If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text the show, 214-210-8483, as well. You can send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. Not to be outdone, it is Valentine's Day, and I have a couple of jokes. So you might as well just deal with it. There's nothing else that's going to change that, okay? These are all very short, very funny one-liners. You ready? All right, let me know what you think.
I'm ready.
Okay. First one, okay? That guy's so great, he's a regular rock of jello. See, rock of jello. See, okay. All right.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I don't blame you for that one. He has a great labor-saving device. It's called Tomorrow. He doesn't have to do it today. See? Labor-saving.
You serious, Clark?
Okay. Careful when you're speaking about him. You're speaking about the man he loves. See, that's... Do you not get that? That's so funny. He's speaking about himself. And he's speaking about the man he loves. All right, never mind. Here's the last one. She is so nervous, she keeps coffee awake. There you go. Yay! Yeah, one out of four. That was a tough judging today. I want to say that.
Yep, 25%. You failed.
Oh, well. What else is there? All right, who asked to sit on the right and left of Jesus in his glory? Is it Peter and Thomas, Philip and Andrew, James and John? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. By the way, you reference Mark 10:35 through 37. If you want to reach out to us, you can at, what is our number? 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. So you guys know this so well, that's great, but I want to make sure very clear that you get this, okay? Everybody by now knows Romans 8:28. Who doesn't know? And we know that in all things, God works for the good. What is God doing? How many things? We know that in all things, how many is all? All. How many is all? All. In all things, God works for the good. He works for the good. He works for the good. For those who love him, not for everybody, those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Everybody knows that pretty well, okay? Why? I don't want you to tell me this is how he does it. I don't know the how. I don't know the methodology. You don't either, I would like to point out. We don't know the how. That's the kind of the thing. We don't know the when, even. God doesn't even tell. Here's the time. It'll be when I say, I'm coming back soon, Jesus said. When? How? We don't know that answer. And we look for that answer. And what I need you to hear me is that we look for the when. We look for the how. We're only supposed to know the why. Psalm 18, verse 16. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. That is the why. Why does God turn stuff? Not can God turn stuff. He always turns stuff. He always turns the curse into a blessing. He always turns the bad into the good. He changes the circumstances. Miracles come in moments when we think it's all lost and done and we've got nothing. And then out of nowhere descends heaven and rearranges the very order of life. And we can't figure out how God does it. And we can't figure out when God does it. And you're not supposed to. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belongeth unto the Lord, but the things that he revealed are ours forever. That's entirely different. But the why is absolutely clear. I want you to hear that passage. Oh, please, if you don't have this passage marked and you mark passages, this would be really good. Psalm 18, verse 16. He reached down from on high. He took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. You ever feel like you're in deep waters? He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. Did you ever feel like that was going on? They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. Did you ever feel like God was the only place you can go to get the rock, to get the stability? He brought me out and put me in spacious place. What does that mean? That you're not closed in anymore, that you can breathe. He rescued me because he delighted in me. By the way, the word rescue is the second primary word for salvation. He saved me because he delighted in me. He loves you. He loves me. And it's hard to hold on to that because we're back at that place where we're talking about Joseph. Who's like, am I in the place of God? And we do that and we're trying to figure out what, you know, when is God doing this? How is God doing this? I'm looking for the answers. You're not entitled to those answers. But you are privileged, like I am, to know the why. He helps us, delivers us, frees us, changes things around us because he loves us. Not he loved, past tense, which, by the way, the scripture says he loved, and it says he loves. It's always there. It's always there. It's always there. Does it mean you don't do things that disappoint him? No, it doesn't mean that. But he doesn't take away his love the fickle way that you and I do. Now, that's pretty cool, right? Okay, that is cool. Let's be honest about that, all right? Who asked to sit on the right and left of Jesus in his glory? Was it Peter and Thomas, Philip and Andrew, James and John? The answer is James and John, the sons of thunder. That's who asked, and Mom asked too, and it's a kind of a fascinating story, but that was not Jesus' place to grant at that moment. Pretty cool. All right, folks, take this, use it, and live by it. It's good stuff. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Who knows when a broken heart will mend?
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.